Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I view the Holy Spirit like the genie from Aladdin. And he's blue. And he's funny. And he's sneaky.
We have got so much superstition, so much unbiblical garbage within our churches right now.
The Bible can't even find any way to explain this. That's why you got to get it by revelation. I've got to just trust God that he's putting it into your spirit like he put it into mine.
Our only recourse is to the Bible.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Excuse me, did you just use the word progress?
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
This is Wretched Radio. We're going to wear out that stinger. Why? Because words keep changing. Definitions, meanings. It's not simply happening because it just happens. One of the mysteries of our world is how words just evolve over time. They come to mean something different than their original etymology, which, by the way, is something you need to be aware of when you go about the business of rightly dividing the word of truth. How was the word used back then? Not today. Words change over decades. They can change quickly, can't they? A second can now mean a long time. I don't know how that happened, but it does mean a long time, unless, of course, you use a different inflection, and then it means a second. Nevertheless, we are seeing words morph into other meanings. Social justice, it basically means socialism. It's the new cover from importing a doctrine of economies and societies that is unbiblical and has never proven to be workable anywhere under any formula. Nevertheless, social justice sounds good. It's socialism. Another word that is morphing these days is progress. We're the progressives. We're moving forward, daddy-o. Don't be left in the dust. You don't want to be a fuddy-dud. You don't want to be considered stodgy. But I'm afraid that word doesn't mean what you think it means. When you study history, we are not progressing when it comes to the issue of sexuality. We are absolutely, positively regressing. We used to behave like dogs, which is the way dogs behave. They don't care who's watching. They don't care with whom. As long as it is pleasurable, a dog acts like a dog. Along came the laws of Moses, and it revolutionized the way that societies view this biblical God-created act as something transcendent, as something precious between one man, one woman in a lifelong covenant relationship. We progressed out of a sexual swamp into something more, you know, civilized, which is a word we used to use when we used to recognize there are some cultures that are better than others. That's right. I just said it. There are some cultures that are better than others. Oh, you just say that because that's the culture you grew up in. Maybe. Maybe not. That has nothing to do. That's fallacious thinking, by the way. That has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not my argument is solid. My argument is either right or wrong based on merits, not based on where I grew up. Nevertheless, there are some cultures that are better than other cultures. They're more sophisticated. They produce better music, better art, better everything, literature, designs, housing, HVAC. They just do a better job. There's some things that are better than others. I know it's a crime to say that these days, but we have a large group of people who are telling us we need to progress, which implies, by the way, judgment that we are currently not where we should be. Isn't that a bit of irony? They would tell us that we must be, get ready for this one, sissy hypno. That's right, sissy hypno. There's a new one for you, sissy hypno. This is from American Thinker. This is weird, I grant you, but apparently this is going on, and this is called progress. Sissy hypno is a mass scale psychosocial movement that encourages men to renounce their masculine identity and become, as the term is used in the LGBTQ, etc. community, a sissy. Isn't that funny? A sissy really used to be a term of derision, a pejorative, that a man was limp-wristed. It was not used as a compliment. Now the word again is changing, and it's being kidnapped to be something that is good. Here's how it works, and I've sanitized this article, even though it wasn't pornographic in and of itself. It is talking about sissy porn and sissy hypnosis. Quote, a process where submissive men learn to take on traditionally female roles. The submissive known as a sissy, by the way, that is the history of sexuality. That's how it used to be defined before the laws of Moses. There was the submissive and the dominant, period. And it did not matter with what. I didn't say who, with what. Didn't matter. There was dominant, there was submissive. Isn't that funny? We're going back to the bad old days. The submissive, known as a sissy, learns to adopt ultra-feminine behaviors and perform feminine activities under the guidance of his dominant partner. Now, you can see a bit of irony here, is that they can't escape it, can they? That there's still a male role and a female role. Nevertheless, they use it to nefarious ends. The long form of sissy hypno is sissification hypnosis. There's probably going to be you can get your master's degree in this someplace, I'm pretty sure, with the goal of being to indoctrinate male viewers into new roles as sissies while leaving older gender identities and practices behind, hence the hypnosis. So what they do is they show pornography where a boy is dressed up like a girl doing submissive things. And whilst that is happening, messages are being spoken or put up on the screen to tell you, that's you. You're the sissy. You're the effeminate one. You're the submissive one. Quote, the women it depicts are in fact former men who have been feminized, sissified, by being forced to wear makeup, lingerie, and perform acts of submission. The viewer is told to imagine themselves as trans subjects. Hey, the slippery slope isn't going to happen. We just want to be able to visit a loved one in a hospital. You're crazy for talking like that. The viewer is told to imagine themselves as trans subjects. Through modes of direct address to the viewer, on-screen captions, audio video montages, visual messages tell you, that's you. You are a woman right now. You've been a woman longer than you've ever known. By listening to me right now, you've already become a woman. This is actually happening in our world. The central idea is that you, the target of the meme, probably a white 20-something, frustrated, nominally heterosexual male, have always been a woman deep inside. The issue is that until sissy hypno came along, you had no idea of your true nature. And so this is designed to help you become feminized, which I don't know why they're so judgmental about being masculine, but they say masculinity is treated as a burden. So become a sissy and it'll be liberating. And it's selling. Because people are looking for something to relieve them of their heavy hearts and their confusion. Now, here's the question. Words change meanings. That's an interesting observation. Creating new ways of ordering society. That's fascinating. Here's the question. How are we going to respond to this new world? Forget COVID and the new normal. This is the big stuff. Morality issues. Oh, I know the COVID stuff has morality baked into it. But this is the out front stuff, the assault on morality. How are we going to respond? Might I suggest we need again to focus on with whom we are dealing? When I read this article to you, and sorry for doing so, on sissy hypno, who were you thinking of? What did you think about the people that are promoting this? How annoyed did you get with them? Now, ain't nothing wrong with righteous indignation, but might I suggest that we make a distinction again and remind ourselves that when we're dealing with people who are opposed to God in thinking, that there are basically two types of people. There are those people who lead and those people who follow, who get swept in to the emotional argument or the supposed liberation behind the ideology. There are people who are leading it. They become anti-God because they're intentionally warring against God. I think those people, they are indeed aggressive enemies of the truth and are doing harm to people, and they should be treated one way, not returning eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But those are people who are warring against God overtly versus the people who are just lost. And that the people who fall into this, and they're falling into this. When you see these kids, this type of thing sings to these kids who are always on the out. They've never been cool, they've never been hip, and they've never been in. Now society tells them, we accept, we affirm, we praise, we love people who have changed their gender, supposedly. And all they need to do is say, I identify as something else. Boom! Now they are they're the coronated as the king and the queen of the prom. And it is happening, isn't it? The best in our class is somebody, a boy, who now says he's a girl and wears a dress. And it's attractive to them, but maybe we need to remember they're just lost. They're just groping for something. They don't even know what, but built into their DNA is a sense of, I want to fit in. I want to be a part of. I want to be embraced. I want to be loved. I wonder if we've got anything to say about that. And that brings us full circle. When we read stories like this, let's remember there are some people who are aggressively warring against the truth. That's one response. The majority are people who just need the gospel. This is Wretched Radio. Who needs Rich Little? You might have to Google that. When you've got me, don't know if you realize this, I do impressions, and this is my impersonation of Dr. John MacArthur. I'll just riff, ad lib about the Master's Academy International in hopes that you will consider supporting your own mini seminary in one of 17 nations around the world. Here we go.
Strong pastors in strong churches impact the entire culture from the inside. And that is the vision of TMAI, to go when we are invited by indigenous pastors who want to do it biblically. And that's our mission.
Not bad, eh? Would you please check out the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor and consider adopting a seminary overseas? The fruit, magnificent. As John MacArthur would say, wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for being here today. We're glad you're spending part of your day listening to us here at Wretched Radio. And thank you for sharing your wretched stories with us. Idea@wretched.org. That's where you send those stories to us and let us know just how wretched has affected your life. Just like this one from Edward. It's an absolutely amazing story. He said, I haven't seen my daughter in 3 years. I sent her the video, Don't Shun Your Prodigal Child, and received an email from her later that same day with an opportunity to reconcile. Absolutely amazing. I've got goosebumps reading that to you. Share your wretched stories just like Edward's with us at idea@wretched.org. We want to hear about them. And also help us make more wretched stories possible by becoming a gospel partner today. You can do that at wretched.org/donate. All of the details are available right there. wretched.org/donate. Or text the word wretched to the number 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
This is not a taunt. It's more like a dare. Don't ask me how that's different than a taunt. This is a double dog dare. Please try not to support preborn.org/wretched and give an ultrasound to a woman who is considering taking the life of her own child for just $28.
When I walked in for the ultrasound and I saw my baby and I heard his heartbeat, my mind changed completely. I couldn't do that to my baby. I have decided to keep it.
Oh, sorry. That would be taunting and daring. Would you please consider providing a $28 ultrasound or multiple ultrasounds through preborn.org/wretched?
I know that with support and with God by my side, I'll be able to do this, not just for me, but for my baby.
Preborn.org/wretched. I dare you not to.
Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How now shall we respond? This is Wretched Radio. I'm having a flashback, deja vu even. It feels like we've done this before, and indeed we have, a number of years ago when the homosexual movement was really catching on. It was really making great grounds, strides toward what their end goal was. We didn't know at the time. We suspected, but we weren't being told how far this was going to get pushed. And we had to take some time to remember that there are two types of people who are warring against Christian values. Those are people who are leading movements, especially those who are doing it against truth, specifically the Bible. So these are people who perhaps profess to be Christians who are using the Bible to subvert and undermine what has been obvious now for millennia. I think that's a category of people that needs to be treated at times strongly, like Jesus would do with the Pharisees. Remember with the Pharisees, his denunciations of them, how he talked to them. I think that there can be a category of people that deserve strong talk. I would, however, suggest there is another camp of people who follow those ideologies or even maybe support them, even live by them, that we would do well to see them not as the enemy, but as the harvest field. These are lost souls. They're not living a life trying to undermine the veracity of the Bible. They're just trying to feel better about life because they're miserable, they're unhappy, they're unsatisfied. They have been living in perhaps an electronic world. It has so divided us. Craziest thing happened to me over the weekend. Mrs. Friel, we were walking through a town, and Mrs. Friel went into a store. Why? Well, two reasons. One, they didn't require a mask. And second, it was on sale. That's just like chum to a shark. That's just to an evangelical, sale, we're in. So she goes in, and I'm standing out on the sidewalk, and what do I immediately do? You can guess, can't you? You grab for that cell phone. I didn't have it. Where's my cell phone? A little bit of a panic. Mrs. Friel had it in her purse. So now there I am, standing outside of a woman's store, not desiring to go in and fetch it. Oh, I wanted my phone, but not that badly. And I just had to do what exactly? Literally, I found myself changing gears. I literally was like, okay, well, I guess I'll have to think. As opposed to, you know, I could have missed. Oh, a text. Oh, an email. Oh, a new news feed. Oh, imagine the horror. So I had to adjust and just stand there. And I did. And just look around. And it just, seriously, my mind just went into a different gear. And I know what that gear is called, reality. Rather than going into electronic realm, I was living in the world of reality. And it just caused me to think different. I was actually looking at people, kind of people watching. Oh, there's a couple, they're holding their hand. Look at that. They look like they're like 50 and they're still holding hands. That's sweet. Oh, boy. Look at that kid screaming like that. Hey, dad, put on your phone and deal. I'm just engaging with the world. And I was maybe, if I had to sit there long enough, I don't know, I might have had to think deeper thoughts, like I might have talked to God, considered theology. Our phones divide us. They separate us. COVID has separated us. Politics separate us. All division. And these kids are feeling it. And they are adrift. Absolutely adrift, looking for something. And then they get all of these messages. They are no doubt steeped in pornography. They're looking at things they should not. And they start thinking all kinds of twisted things that they shouldn't be thinking. They maybe get tempted to try things or ponder things they never would have. Then they maybe even act on it. Oh, now the guilt and shame is compounded. And now these kids, lonely, lost, scared, filled with guilt, languishing with shame. Who are these? How are we going to see them? as disgusting losers subverting our society. No, they are by their passive engagement in it. They're one of the aggressors. They're just going with the flow because they are lost. And I just wonder if we need to remind ourselves again of that. And it goes for political people too. Moral, political, because, you know, politics is moral. Then maybe you can look at somebody who's warring politically, even on the national stage, the local stage. That's one camp of people. The people who follow, they're just lost. They're just not thinking right. A life-affirming view, a more life-affirming worldview. This was printed in the Aquila Report, really quoting Nancy Piercy. Nancy Piercy has been writing. She's smart. She's an evangelical. She's at somewhere in Texas, I believe, at a Baptist university. She's a thinker. She's one of these smart people. You know them when you meet them, and she is one of them. And she was able to capture what I've been thinking lately about how we respond to people as opposed to seeing them as a societal or political enemy. She wrote this. She'd been writing, I remember reading, was it Truth, 2004 or 5, I read The Truth Something. Nancy Piercy, P-E-A-R-C-E-Y. You'll learn stuff. Quote, as Christian influence wanes, will Western culture revert back to a sexual free-for-all like that of the ancient world? If so, Christians will once again need to muster their courage to be radically countercultural. What does that look like? And they will once again need to be prepared to what? Fight the culture war? Win elections. Not what she says. Christians will once again need to be prepared to minister to the victims of sexual abuse and predation. People who are molested and hurt. I have to tell you, the emails that I received, we posted, I can't recall what video it was. It doesn't matter. And women who were saying, oh, I know, it had to do with God's sovereignty. When bad things happen, you lose your job, so you lose your health. And these women were saying, you have no idea how violated and abused I was as a child in every regard. Oh, how would we treat that child? Let's just say that child was that girl was molested like that for years. Years. Now she's 18, 20. She's 25, 30. And let's just say she's angry. And let's just say she wants everything in culture, in politics, that is anti-Christian. How do you talk to her? How do we talk about her? Are we going to fight them socially, politically, morally, or are we going to minister to them because they're lost and they're hurting? Back to Nancy Piercy. Those wounded by the sexual revolution need ministering. We must do the hard work of making a case for the beauty of the biblical sex ethic with both their words and their lives. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be showing people it's a better system, but we need to be, brace yourself, loving them. Not angry. No, not nasty. Loving them. From Nancy Piercy. The reason they speak out on moral issues should not be because their beliefs, she's talking about Christians, be because their beliefs are threatened or because they feel offended. Christians should erase the word offended from their vocabulary. We are, aren't we? We're supposed to turn the other cheek. Now, this is not to suggest we go into the ditch of do-nothingism. This is to remind us why we're in this world. Christians, writes Piercy, must make it clear they are speaking out because they genuinely care about people. No matter how compelling the case for the biblical ethic, people rarely change their minds based on intellectual arguments alone. They're even less likely to change if all they hear is moral condemnation. People must be drawn in by a vision that attracts them by offering a more appealing, more life-affirming worldview. Christians must present biblical morality in a way that reveals the beauty of the biblical view of the human person so that people actually want it to be true. and they must back up their words with actions that treat people with genuine dignity and worth. Perhaps you, like I, need this adjustment, that we need to be reminded what we're doing here, that we need to be reminded what the point is. The most important realm on the planet is not the political realm. It is the Church of Jesus Christ building a spiritual kingdom. And as we see the decay, the continuing devolving of sexual ethics, perhaps a reminder, not only are we regressing, yep, got that, but people are going to be hurt by this. They are going to be wounded by this. They are going to suffer from this. And we have words of healing, but if we've been shouting at them over less important things, they will not hear. May I ask, do you, like I, need an adjustment? This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Hindu extremists in India brutally tortured a pastor, belting his head and threatening to sacrifice him to their god because he distributed Bible tracts. One news report details that the house church pastor was handing out gospel tracts when six Hindu radicals approached him and ordered him to stop. Though the pastor complied, one Hindu seized the keys from his scooter, took away his phone, and signaled the others to attack him. When he regained consciousness, he found himself locked in a dark room. 1 week later, an elderly woman who lives nearby heard his cries and knocked on the door. The woman took him out of the room and later gave him food and water, which saved his life. After returning to his home, the pastor learned his family had searched for him throughout the district and eventually fled to his wife's hometown of Nepal. With help from other Christians, eventually he was able to make contact and pay for his family to return home nearly a month after the attack. The pastor says it's not the first time he's been attacked for his faith. In June 2019, eight Hindu extremists pushed him off his scooter, breaking his hand and foot as they beat him. Though the legal advocacy group Alliance Defending Freedom India urged the pastor to file charges against the attackers, he refused. Violence against Christians in Bihar State and India's northeast region bordering Nepal and Bangladesh has increased over the last few years. Christianity is practiced by less than 0.5% of the population, while Hindus make up 82.7% of the population. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday delivered another win for churches battling COVID-19 restrictions, sending cases in Colorado and New Jersey back to lower courts and asking them to reconsider their decisions in light of a recent high court decision favoring New York houses of worship. The Colorado case involves a congregation that sued the governor, saying the restrictions on houses of worship were more severe than those on businesses. A district court ruled against the church in August, but on Tuesday, the Supreme Court vacated that decision. Significantly, Chief Justice John Roberts, who voted against churches in the New York case, sided with the conservative bloc in the Colorado case. The pastor of the church said his church practices social distancing and follows health guidelines on battling the virus. Well, Maryland Democrat Jamie Raskin and California Democrat Jared Huffman have teamed up to urge Joe Biden to remove God from America in a 28-page document proposed by the Secular Democrats of America. Raskin and Huffman, who both chair the Congressional Free Thought Caucus, presented the document to Biden on November the 30th in an effort to roll back what former President Donald Trump has done, and that's presenting America as a Christian nation. The Secular Democrats of America's Political Action Committee, who describe themselves as a network of Democrats advocating for inclusion of non-religious Americans and mobilizing to protect secular democracy through its program director, accused President Trump of exclusivity on religious freedom that contradicted America's actual democratic way of life. In an effort to reframe patriotism, the group's proposal stressed the need to remove "In God We Trust" and terms like "God and Country." Instead, they proposed to use the country's one-time 1956 motto, "E Pluribus Unum," which means "out of many, one." In addition, the Secular Democrats raised the need to repeal the Religious Freedom Restoration Act so that the Affordable Care Act could be implemented across the board, including religious organizations. They also pushed that vaccinations be made mandatory in schools and daycare centers, including religious ones, thereby removing them from exemption since, quote, "parents and children have the right to a school environment free of vaccine-preventable diseases." Trump was said to have previously warned that traditional values and religious freedom would be under attack should Biden win the election, and it looks like we could definitely be going in that direction. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your church fathers. Theophilus of Antioch lived a pagan lifestyle until he was converted by reading the scriptures.
His most notable work, Apology, was written to an unbelieving friend to show that the scriptures were self-authenticating and argued that the antiquity, clarity, and consistency of the scriptures prove their divine origin. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this will take the ho-ho-ho out of Christmas.
New from Laodicea Records on Jerry Lewis Christmas.
Silent night! Holy night!
All your holiday favorites with that famous Jerry Lewis twist.
Hey, lady! Santa Claus is coming to town!
Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Jerry Lewis.
You're a mean one, Mr. Martin. You know, you really are a heel.
Order your copy now and receive a bonus copy of A Jerry Lewis Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah! Happy Hanukkah!
How can one man sing both Christian and Jewish songs? Does that really matter? Get your copy of A Jerry Lewis Christmas today and have a very Jerry Christmas.
Felicia Rashad! Felicia Rashad! Felicia Rashad, the lady on the Cosby Show. She played Theo's mom. Hello.
Ay, ay, ay. That'll take the merry out of Christmas. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping, perhaps, that you will do, perhaps, a better job than perhaps you did last year at Christmas. How did you do remembering that Christ was the reason for the season? I will be honest with you. It is very difficult for me. We're busy people, aren't we? Compounding that busyness is the added workload of getting stuff ready for Christmas. The frantic preparation, the gift buying, the getting ready for, cleaning the house, making sure that everybody's going to be there, the arrangements, who's not coming. And I need to spend a lot of energy on being annoyed at the people who aren't cooperating with my plans. Maybe, just maybe, this might be the Christmas where you and I focus on what God wants us to focus on. Is it possible, just possible, that maybe our current political, social scenario that we are not digging is being done for that very reason? I'm not a prophet. I don't play one on TV or radio. Nevertheless, I can ask the question of myself, and you can ask it for you and for your family. Is God moving in our world so that you and I do a better job of focusing on Christmas? No, I'm not being ridiculous. Let me make my case. What is God doing on the planet? What is the most important thing that he is about? What is the work that he is most after? It is singular. And that is that souls would be saved so that God can be glorified for sending his son, born of a virgin, living a righteous life, living under the law to redeem those of us under the curse of the law, so that it will be to the praise and the glory of his name when sinners are redeemed for all of eternity. If that's the point of everything, and it is, then could God, among other things, be wrecking our society in order for us to be about the more important business? Question: which institution is more important? Government, specifically America, because we do love America. Is the institution of our representative republic government, or not a democracy, representative republic government, is that the most important institution on the planet, or is it the church? What did Jesus say? That he is going to build a country and the gates of socialism will not prevail over it? No. Furthermore, when Jesus was really confronted with who he is, his response was, "My kingdom is not of this world." If I wanted to fight, if I wanted my followers to fight, I would have legions of angels come down and wipe you out. But he was not about that institution. He was not about that realm. Jesus is building a church to the praise and the glory of his name. That's what he is about. That's his business. That's what the physical world is about. That is what the spiritual world is about. That is what the temporal world is about. That is what the eternal world is about. Bringing glory to God through the redemptive work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who performed the greatest miracle ever by becoming flesh. Remember, God is spirit. He's an invisible God. He's an infinite God. The greatest miracle is that spirit became flesh, infinite, stuffed into a finite body. Noodle that great miracle. It's the greatest miracle. Why? Why? So that this God-man could enter human history and time to redeem us, to make criminals kings and queens, to make lawbreakers the judges of the universe one day. Wait a second. We get to reign with God, and we are the ones who have been the rebels, all the worst of rebels. It is human beings. All of creation groans because of the fall, but we are the ones who rebel against God most aggressively. Lions don't. Worms don't. Plants don't. We do. God tells the wind to blow. It blows that many knots that direction. Why? Because he wanted that daisy to move just at that quite that angle because it brings him pleasure and glory. All obeys. We say no. The Lord says, act like this. We say, no, we're going to act like that. We're the worst. And yet he died for the worst so that he could be known as the best. And now you and I, as we approach the Christmas season, have an opportunity to remember that and celebrate that, because perhaps in years past, we've just been too distracted, too busy, too consumed with stuff. None of it, by the way, necessarily sinful, but let's remember this isn't what God is about. God is about bringing glory to himself through the work of his Son. And maybe, just maybe, if you're panicking still about the election, panicking still about the presidency, I feel ya. God is not stressed out at all. He's orchestrating it. He has predetermined this is what is best. And he is willing to put his children through something unpleasant to get us to focus on the better thing, the spiritual realm, the kingdom that he is building. I hearken. That seems Christmassy. I hearken back to Isaiah. How similar was the situation of the Jewish people during the time of the prophet Isaiah? You're giving sacrifices. I hate them. Why? Because you're just going through the motions. So here's what I'm going to do to help you. Perform your sacrifices with a right heart. I'm going to trash your nation. That's what he did. That's what the Assyrian invasion was all about. To trash the nation because their hearts were far from him. Why would he not do that today? Do we think that he loves America more than the land of Israel? Do we think that he loves us more than his believers in the Old Testament? I don't think so. And he was willing to put them through hard. And we're talking about even the believers here. Because even if we are not the ones that are performing the sacrifices whose hearts are far from him, yet to a degree they are, aren't they? They are, always. I have loves and affections I shouldn't. My brain is quick to go where it shouldn't. My eyes can be averted in a heartbeat. And I know better. Could it be that God is doing a great work in a kingdom, in converting it to something different so that I'll stop clinging perhaps to the world and start turning my eyes and my thoughts and my attention to him? I would simply ask you, are you possibly wrapped more, just asking, wrapping yourself more in the American flag than in the robes of righteousness of Jesus Christ? What did Paul tell the Romans? Put on the Lord Jesus. This is a fascinating two thoughts smashed together. This happens all the time in the Bible. Brilliant. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? make no provision for the flesh. You're sinning because you're not thinking about Jesus. You're sinning because your affections are off. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember him. Focus on him. Praise him. Worship him. Think about him. Think about his church. Think about his kingdom. And you're not going to sin so much. And isn't it interesting? That's what the Jews were told in Isaiah 1 through 9. Your hearts are far from it. You're sinning in myriads of ways. It goes on for several chapters. You're sinning like this, like this, like this. Everybody was scathed in that denunciation of all of the sins that the Jews were committing. But then what does he do? He promises a son. Fix your eyes on the son. A woman is going to conceive. Focus on the son. And that is going to be your ticket to not sinning. That's going to be your ticket to having peace. I'm willing to trash a nation so that you will focus on the better thing. How consistent is the Old Testament with the New Testament? Question, is it possible you and I could have the best Christmas ever because of what God is doing in our nation? And now the decision is up to us whether or not we will receive it. This is Wretched Radio. Don't tell me you couldn't use a little encouraging news. This is from Paul Marty. He is the executive director of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Clubs, meeting all throughout Eastern Europe to bring impoverished nations and families the gospel.
You know, most Tomorrow Clubs work in former communist communities where we find so many kids and families living hopeless lives. But with the help of the Wretched audience, we've been able to bring the gospel, hope, and long-term discipleship to thousands of kids in these forsaken communities.
Praise God for that. Would you please consider joining our effort to reach these kids and their families to strengthen local churches in Eastern Europe? $30 a month, 30 disciples. It is an outstandingly efficient gospel-centered ministries. Please prayerfully consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
While 2020 may have been a historical kick in our collective shins, the Lord is still building his church, and Wretched has not lost an ounce of enthusiasm for participating in the Great Commission. That's why I'm pleased to report to you that Wretched has reached more people than ever with the good news of Jesus Christ in 2020. No matter what 2021 brings, we have absolutely no intention of slowing down, and we'd like to invite you to join us in our effort to preach the gospel, equip the saints to defend the truth, and strengthen the local church. So would you please remember Wretched as you consider your year-end giving? The more support you provide us, the harder we will work to reach a lost and dying world through electronic media while we can. Please remember Wretched as 2020 draws to a close and we begin a new year and a new opportunity to share the amazing gospel. To support Wretched, visit wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321.
Trust me, you are going to want to call this number, 1-844-34-BIBLE, 1-844-34-BIBLE. Why? Because you are going to talk to a very nice representative at MediShare who will share with you the benefits of joining over 400,000 Christians who have shared over $4 billion in medical expenses. This is the alternative perhaps you have been praying for regarding health insurance. This is affordable, biblical health sharing. 1-844-34-BIBLE. The MediShare representative will tell you what you can be saving per month. On average, $500 per month per family. See, I told you you'd want to call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Attributes of God. Can a loving God be wrathful? If God loves righteousness, loves people, and wants what is best for his creation, he must hate what runs contrary to his will. God must always respond to sin with wrath, and his wrath must be satisfied. It is either satisfied on the cross, or each person will bear God's wrath eternally in hell. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go on a road trip, shall we? This is Wretched Radio, hoping just perhaps, maybe, you will listen to what we have prepared for you in a road trip to truth montage. to visit wretched.org/roadtrip to receive this 13-episode DVD set to binge watch it with your kids.
If you saw a kid sitting on this ledge, I hope that you try to talk them down because they could really fall and hurt themselves. Now imagine the child said, "It's not dangerous. Even if I fall, nothing's gonna happen to me." Naturally, you would give this kid a mini science lesson and remind him that the laws of gravity never fail. And if he falls, gravity will take hold of him and introduce him to the ground in a very unpleasant way. Now imagine that kid says, "Ha, I don't even believe in gravity." What would you think about that kid? At the very least, you would think he's being pretty foolish. Why? Because in the realm of science, we all understand that there are laws. And if we ignore those laws, there are immediate consequences, right? Same thing is true with math. 2 + 2 = 4. Do you think 2 × 2 = 4?
Yeah.
Is that true?
I guess so.
Is it a fact?
Of course it's a fact.
Yeah, right. It's a fact. It's true. I agree with you. So why do we all agree that there's absolute truths in the realms of math and science, but when it comes to religion, all bets are off?
So for you, would you tell me that I'm wrong if I said that I was a Christian? Do you think that that's wrong?
No.
No. Okay. Do you think it's right?
It's not right or wrong. It's, it's your personal belief. You have the right to believe what you want to believe.
It seems we have some realms, like science and math, that have unviolatable laws that are true for everyone, but not in the realm of religion. No doubt you've been told that faith is a personal issue, that if you believe in God and that works for you, that that's your truth, but it doesn't apply to me. This is mostly due to something called postmodernism.
That is a philosophy that your kids, oh, they've been breathing it like air, whether you wanted them to or not. They get bombarded with postmodernism, which is why we focus on that subject quite a bit in our first season of Road Trip to Truth, because many kids, they imbibe that worldview, but they just don't know that they're drunk on it because they don't even know what it is. And so it is, we go about the business of dismantling postmodernism and the objections that so many young people have about, you know, that Bible.
In order to understand postmodernism, we kind of need to know a little bit of the history of Western civilization, where it came from.
Right.
Starting with the Enlightenment, we have the introduction of rationalism, the idea that reason and science are going to be the lens through which many in Western civilization view the world. For really about 250 to 300 years, as part of this Enlightenment movement, there were many who were very optimistic about what science and reason could accomplish, that there were absolute universal truths, and that the way to discover those truths was primarily through science and reason. But as we get into the 20th century, especially after World War I and World War II, and we see that science and reason only gets us to mass global destruction,
sure.
You right. Begin to have some pessimism that seeps into the way in which philosophers and thinkers think about what's knowable. And that pessimistic response to modernism is that view that we can know things through science and reason, is called postmodernism. It continues to view science and reason as essential, but it's no longer optimistic about what can be accomplished.
Do you believe that all truth is relative, person to person?
Yeah.
Do you believe that mathematics and scientific laws are relative, person to person?
Yes. Because that's just my own personal views.
In other words, postmodernism says that those universal absolute truth claims, we don't think that those are knowable, but instead that truth is relative and that our ability to understand truth is limited by our finite experience and it's tied to our individual perspective. So it becomes relative, it becomes subjective.
Do you think it's possible for me to believe something, you to believe something, and then to be totally opposed and for both of us to be right?
I do. I feel like that is the case. I mean, being like that, I have a boyfriend, right? So like we'll be arguing and I feel like my truth is right and he feels like his is, and he's like really strong about what his truth is and I'm really strong about mine. And it's like, even though we have two completely different opinions, we both feel like that's the truth and like that's how it should be.
Those are called perspectives, not truths. Nevertheless, I can just imagine that young lady, she gleaned that from I don't know what class at university. Think of it like this. You've got a friend, you want to go to Zaxby's because that's the Christian chicken sandwich restaurant. Your friend wants to go to Chick-fil-A. You both are convinced. You can't both be wrong. Both of you are right. It's your truth. And they gobble it down wholesale. And ultimately, that worldview leads them to talk like absolute sausages.
People look to reason and to science to answer their questions about why things work the way they work in the universe. Going even back to the Enlightenment, we have another movement called Romanticism, which taught people that the pursuit of their own happiness was their chief end in life. And so you take those two things, you combine them together, you really get an explanation philosophically for where people are coming from. There is no absolute truth, that's postmodernism.
Who determines what truth is?
You do.
When it comes to understanding the natural universe, reason and science give us everything we need. That's modernism or naturalism.
What is love and how do you describe that?
Series of chemical reactions that creates and guides humans to mate and reproduce. It's an evolutionary thing.
And the goal of my life is to please myself. That's romanticism.
What do you think the purpose of life is?
To be happy. Your personal happiness.
So you have a combination of those three worldviews that make up the popular philosophy that most people live their lives by. They may or may not give lip service to some sort of deity.
I think that religion shouldn't be necessary for people to be ethical, but I think it can help, and I think it can be a good guide.
But in the end, they're convinced, based on those philosophical worldviews, that they don't really need God, because science and reason gives them all the information they need. Postmodernism allows them to put a bubble around themselves and insulate their own presuppositions, and then romanticism gives them the purpose for life, to please myself.
Voila, that's the world we're living in. But there is, I think, a little asterisk that needs to be inserted over one word that Dr. Nathan Boosnitz in Road Trip to Truth, available at wretched.org/roadtrip, continued to use. And that word is the deity of our current culture, science. But it's not science. It's not empirical science. It's more social science. It's more evolutionary science. It's more cosmic science. And none of those fit the actual definition. They do not qualify for being testable, repeatable, verifiable, observable. You can't do that with these realms, and yet it's called science. So, for instance, and this can get a little bit tricky because you've got scientists, people with PhDs, they tell you global warming, we evolved from goo, there's life on another planet. Do they use any of their scientific knowledge? Sure, in there somewhere, and their thinking and their education. Furthermore, they use their title, and then they announce, we've determined this is the way the world is, this is how we got there, and this is what's going to happen to it. I think now in 12 years, the world is going to be no more again, which was announced about 30 years ago. At any rate, the scientists use social sciences or interpretive lenses that are perhaps educated a little bit by their scientific background, but it's not pure science at all. I can't tell you how a dinosaur bone got into a ditch in Des Moines, Iowa. Neither can they. They can only imagine. I can't tell you what is going on in a place where we cannot go and we cannot test things. We're not on Mars. So that isn't science, it's speculation. Global warming, same thing. Sociologically, how we behave, we call it science. And we're doing this injustice, by the way. Do you remember it was the DA of Los Angeles? The reason that I'm introducing all of these wonky new changes to the LA Police Department that are absolutely stupid is because we've got science. Really? What do you have? You supposedly have got some sort of way to tell us societally why people are behaving, and if we do this, then that's going to happen. That isn't science. It's speculation. You can't test those things. You can't verify those things. So when today people, they cite science as the premier authority in their lives, you would say, well, that doesn't sound like postmodernism. You're right. It's because they're not actually worshiping true science. They're worshiping a small s science, which is not scientific at all. And so it is. That is our world. And I promise you, your kids in Sunday school, in youth group, have never heard an adult presentation that they can grasp like they just heard from Dr. Nathan Boosnitz, who walked them through history to say, you're swimming in a sea of postmodern philosophy. This is what you are drinking in. And this is going to be what you are going to talk like and think like if you persist down that road. It is respectful, it is thoughtful, it is intelligent, and it has a killer study guide that will confront the thinking that they are already believing and to introduce them a better Christian response that is actually based in truth. It's called Road Trip to Truth. I think, to quote the great theologian J.J. Walker, it is dynamite. And you can get Road Trip to Truth at wretched.org/roadtrip, wretched.org/roadtrip. Binge watch it, and then please teach it to your youth group so that they do not end up talking like sausages too. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.